Okay, so if you want to get your Phantom Monster ready. Yeah. 3, 2. Bam, bam, bam! Jesus, the delay, lads. Okay, anyway, we're here, we're back, we're ready. Okay, so welcome back to our third episode of Spew Union. We didn't have Connor the last time, but he's back, we're ready. Evan, he's been loyal throughout, we're back. But so the first thing that I want us to start on this week is to look over our last round of games from the group stages of the World Cup. So the first thing I suppose we should start with were the games getting called off. You know, potentially the Scotland and then Japan game was getting called off as well. But myself and Connor were discussing yesterday that, you know, how big of a deal is it that, you know, Italy and the New Zealand game got called off? You know, I saw a lot of people were saying that if the roles were reversed and New Zealand were the ones trying to qualify, would it have been played?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of disappointing from an Italian perspective because I suppose one thing that was probably well publicised in the media was the fact that it was Parise's last ever international. As well as Gilardino's, who have both been loyal servants to Italy over the years.
Yeah.
And I suppose it was their chance to get their send-off for their country, for who they've served. I think Parise is now one of the most most capped test players of all time.
He has the most defeats as well.
He has the most defeats, but that kind of makes sense.
I think he's only won like maybe 15 or something.
Is it? Yeah, like not a great record you want to be holding, is it? I suppose. But yeah, I think Italy actually had the potential to qualify, didn't they?
Yeah,
if they had beaten
the All Blacks,
it was a major task for them if they'd beaten the All Blacks by a bonus point. And it
doesn't matter though. Like, yeah, it's more that they had a chance. And like,
exactly.
I agree.
I suppose one thing you have to look at was the fact that the terms and conditions that all the teams had agreed upon were stated before the tournament.
Well, I think that's just like, if you want to play in the World Cup, you have to do that regardless. Like, yeah. I think at the time when they were signing these contracts, I doubt they thought there was a possibility.
They think there was a possibility?
I'm talking about the countries, the rugby unions of the different countries. I assume they just thought there would be a contingency plan. Like, they were like, you don't plan a World Cup in a country that has typhoons every year.
Yeah.
And this was the 19th typhoon of this season.
Especially with the time of year and everything, I don't really understand how this wasn't something that, you know, was brought to the table when they were discussing, right, where are we having the World Cup this year, or in 4 years or 8 years, whatever the conversation was at the time.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's just bizarre.
I think it probably, haven't seen videos from the actual typhoon that has hit, and I'm pretty sure it's claimed up to 66 lives at this stage. Like, it was definitely the right call. If there was any way, in any doubt, for like public safety, it's the right idea to, you know, call off the game and to make sure everyone's safe. But like, that was a smart decision, but it's a bad idea to have a World Cup in a country or in an area without a contingency plan.
I don't think anyone's disputing the fact that it was the right call to call the matches off. It's more like they're bordering with South Korea. In 2002, they had a joint World Cup between South Korea and Japan. So South Korea are well able to host matches if it needs be.
Yeah.
Australia and New Zealand are about a 6-hour flight that if it really happened, they could have easily had the matches down there as well.
That's fair.
Like, there's plenty of places around Japan that they could host matches.
Yeah.
And the fact that they said, oh, it's the group stages, you sign the deal, you're not getting we're not able to change the matches.
I assume that that's just the case of...
I don't know what it is, okay. So, because like, they lost out on revenue. Real Rugby has to refund
all the tickets.
Refund all the tickets. I'm sure they have to accommodate those unions as well, because they were going to get a lot of money. And also they have to, all the TV rights as well. I'd say the TV companies now get a bit money back because of the three matches they couldn't show. And New Zealand has a big rugby audience that most of their country would be watching.
As well as that
game.
What it does is it gives now, well, some might say it's an advantage or a disadvantage, but I think it's an advantage for New Zealand going into the Ireland game.
Haven't had a
long break now. They've had 14 days since their last game, I think. Or it will be 14 come Saturday.
Even their last game was Namibia.
Yeah, and like, I mean, that's huge. Like, when you compare that to Ireland's turnaround time from the Samoan game, I think it's 7 days. Like, that would be extremely beneficial for New Zealand, I think, personally. I know Schmidt came out, or he was talking about Eddie Jones making comments that, you know, they didn't know whether it was an advantage or a disadvantage. I'm sure every team in the World Cup would have rather the longer run-in, because it means more rest time for their players,
yeah.
More time to prepare for their opposition. And so, like, that's going to be a bit of a disadvantage for Ireland playing them now at the weekend.
The only thing I'd argue is that, apart from that first 25 minutes in the South Africa game, New Zealand haven't been tested at all. Like,
It will be nearly 4 weeks probably since they've been in a...
Had a good game.
Had a test level.
Be used to playing it.
I don't know how much that will impact New Zealand. I'd say when they train together, their physicality and everything else, it's like it may as well be a test game that they're playing in, because, I mean, their second team is as good as most tier one nations. But definitely the Typhoon, it did impact, it certainly has impacted this World Cup, and I think we'll see England as well. One of England's games
England
was
France,
quite a lot of England
yeah
France.
Which would have been a very big game. I think England might have fancied as well to play Wales instead of Australia.
Yeah,
like they know Wales much better, and I think they know they can beat them, whereas Australia kind of have a bit of surprise factor in
them.
I'd say France were happier to take the 2 points than Italy were anyway, because it means again that France will have a longer run in, and it means they didn't have to run
and
the
I
risk
think
against
France
playing
are having a mutiny against their own coach, so
yeah.
It means France as well didn't have to go to the trouble of you know, risking any injuries or anything against well-oiled English side. So
exactly, but then obviously our game was kind of, it went ahead in the end, but, and obviously so did the Japan and Scotland, we'll point to that one in a second, but one of the games that was cancelled, that, and it's kind of an under the radar game, was the Canada and Namibia game. Now I know it wouldn't really meant much for anything outside, but would you believe that the Canadian team, when their game was called off, they went out into the rubble and the flood damage and went out and volunteered just and
helped out
and just gave a hand around, which, you know, I think speaks volumes
for
the sport, for the country, for them.
100%.
But I just thought it was great to see, because it's, you know, obviously it's nice to see something else that's meeting the headlines, and, you know, obviously.
But as well as that, is it, like, in terms of the actual rugby as well, like, third place in the group qualifies for the next World Cup. That would have been.
And also, Namibia have never won a match at the World Cup, and I think they would have really fancied themselves to beat Canada.
Really? Would you have thought they would have beaten them?
Yeah, I think so. I think Namibia were, like, both teams were very poor, but I think Namibia are definitely a better team.
Namibia played all right against New Zealand in the first half anyway. Now I know.
Who has a worse points difference? So Namibia finished with minus 141. Canada finished with minus 163.
It was Canada with the worst, was it?
I think World Rugby really needs to look at maybe reducing the teams.
But you kind of
like down
need
to 16.
I think
there's one team in each group that are just the whipping boys of the group.
Yeah, but I think it's the experience of getting up and playing in a World Cup is
yeah, but a World Cup isn't a charity thing. Like, it's
no, it's not. But like, if
it
you
needs
don't
to
have
be changed,
and also man. Like, then fuck all people watch these matches.
Yeah, but like, I think for those countries who, like, rugby is obviously an up and coming thing. Like, let's say in Japan, for example, like, if you were 4 years ago, 5 years ago, you probably wouldn't have put. Like, Japan probably aren't in your top tier teams, but
but Japan are a tier two team. I'm talking about like Namibia, Uruguay actually turned out quite good in this. Canada, like those teams, like,
you wouldn't have said that about Uruguay.
But like, that's a one in five teams.
What needs to be done is teams
like this
that.
Isn't a great way of developing teams. Like, going to a World Cup and losing 60-0 every single game isn't
teams
going to
like,
do
yeah, but
any
I think
World
Rugby are doing things in between where they have them playing in, you know, tier two divisions and stuff. I just think that this is the highest stage, and they are kind of the whipping boys, but
teams like that, in order to develop them, they need to be placed in against regular competition, against the likes of Ireland, Scotland, Wales, team like in some form of competition. I think that's why they had the proposal about the, do you remember having the League Nations or something?
The World.
But it got scrapped in the end because of
Well, also the World League, I think Japan and Fiji were going to be left outside of that. I think Fiji definitely. I'm not sure about Japan. Maybe Japan were invited in because they actually have
but the a only lot way, to give the only money way teams wise will improve like if they're constantly playing at a higher standard than
Of course, but like every 4 years isn't
sufficient. That's what I'm saying. So like even there was talk of maybe Georgia joining the Six Nations even, because like they've, if you looked at them this World Cup, they've improved vastly over the last number of years. I'm pretty sure we had them in our group in 2007.
I think they beat us in 2007.
They didn't beat us. But
do you remember Georgia in the last World Cup, 2015?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember. But just on your other point on that, if we were to go to 16 teams, do you really think that do you think 3 games is enough?
Yeah, I think so. Like, well, look, one of the games is pointless anyway. Like,
but I suppose your second team and then the rest of your also, squad gets games.
The World Cup is over such a long period just because of the way rugby is. Like, you can't be playing them. Like,
you can't play every four days
or whatever. And I think it needs to be condensed down because, like, we're now at the quarterfinal stage, and now the Rugby World Cup is actually beginning. Like, this is the part that everyone's been waiting. And like all those games, four games. England, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Wales, France, and Japan, and South Africa. A very close games. Like, obviously, he's a favourite in each of them, but, like, he can pick reasons for both teams to win, whereas a lot of the games in the group stages, like, you could put the gaff on, basically.
You probably could have picked who was qualifying from each group before the bar, maybe the Pool A, with Japan qualifying.
Yeah, but other than that, I think it's pretty much...
Yeah, it was clear enough who was going to go through, I think.
Yeah. So then I suppose we move on to our quarterfinals then, and what we look towards. Just, I don't think there's much else to say about... Actually, do you know what? The Japan and Scotland game, what did you think of Japan? Did you think that they...
I was watching and saying, oh my God, Japan are fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
I thought that Scotland might get over the line against them, but if they did, it wasn't going to be by much, but... They really came out of the block strong, didn't they? The Japanese.
Some of their tries were
unbelievable. And I mean,
we can watch the highlights real quick.
There.
Well, like if it, like you can skip forward to this if you want, but like
right, you're gonna get taken off YouTube.
I'll just mute it then. Like we just
YouTube. Don't worry, we're not even watching the World Cup. Don't worry.
Doesn't matter. Like this is an independent source. Like they don't know what I'm watching. I'm not showing.
But yeah, I thought the Japanese were very good, and I think coming up against South Africa in the quarterfinals will be a step too far for them. I think the style that they play, their game plan's based around speed and a lot of energy, and I think that South Africa will have the firepower to stop them. And I think if we look back at the Ireland game when they played Japan, Japan played very well. Ireland didn't play particularly great. That was probably because they weren't allowed to play that way by the Japanese.
Mm.
But a lot of things went against us that day. And I just can see South Africa beating them by a bit of a score.
Really? I think the bookies had them at minus 15. That's a good try from Finn Russell.
Yeah.
It's sad to see this good...
If he was on any other team, like... He's such a good player.
He is a
good player.
Hog.
Yeah.
Look, like,
Hog needs to sort out his burnout.
The Japanese, their backs are pretty decent. Like they know how to sling it. Like, it's
they
fast,
actually had their Sunwolves. I'm not sure. They've been playing like their B team for the Sunwolves, and they're keeping all their players together so they could be playing together for the last, I think, like 250 days they spent together in the last year. Or something.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of good players. The out half Tamora, he's been playing quite well, despite some of his misplaced kicks. But
He needs to stop place kicking because he's so bad. And they should be going to the corner every single time. That was a joke.
Like the third try there with kicking behind, and like I really rate that winger. He set up that first one as well.
He scored the try against Ireland as well, I think.
Goa or something.
Oh, I can't remember. And then what, they scored that other one where he literally just he caught on the ground. The skill level it takes to did you see the video when it's really like an inch off
and
the ground,
so, and then like he reaches out to grab it as well.
What do you think the chances are then against South Africa in the
think they, like, I'm feeling confident for Japan. Like, I don't think they'll win, but I think they'll definitely.
I think it'll be closer than.
I think it's inside the 15 points anyway.
I think
South Africa will win by 17.
You heard it here first. Fair, but like
they've had impressive wins, obviously, the Japanese against Ireland, Scotland, and like, I mean, they have shown up until now such hard determination.
A few dodgy calls have gone their way.
Playing at home is obviously a big factor as well. That's worth, I think, a couple of points. What will be interesting will be Fikor. Jeez, I can't pronounce his name. That winger against
Jason Colby.
I think that would be huge.
His name, it's 14, it's, is it, it's or 11?
Fukuoka.
Left
Kenki Fukuoka.
Yeah, there you go. There's the pronunciation. But yeah, as I said, I think they demand speed and energy.
Yeah.
And I just think that South Africa's tight five will be able to slow the ball down for them. They won't be able to play with the same amount of pace that they were allowed to play with against Ireland and Scotland. And then obviously South Africa have massive runners in their back row and across the board, and I just think if they get over the game line, then South Africa will be able to play the game that the Japanese are hoping to play.
Yeah.
And I think they could be in a bit of trouble, but you never know. I'm hopeful the Japanese will play well though, because it's great to see them actually.
Yeah, and it is so good to see.
Especially as a team who came into the tournament probably under the radar a bit, despite them being the hosts. So
what do we think for our leg? We may as well do one for each game. So
yeah, I'm doing Japan +15.
You're gonna go on the plus, and
I'd go on the minus.
And you're gonna go on the minus. Okay, so we've got a split decision on that. Then what about our France and Wales game? Personally, I was a little bit hesitant on it, you know, before, but then, you know, I really don't know that France are gonna be able to pull together, and I feel like if Wales can just stick to their systems, they've probably got the beating of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's such a young French side. I think over the course of the last 9 games that France have played Wales on, they've only mustered together an average of 12 points per game. So I don't know if that's going to be sufficient to beat the Welsh side. And like the way that the Welsh defend, it's so aggressive, so physical. It's going to be interesting to see if the young French side can actually deal with that and break it down.
Yeah,
I mean, the 9 for France has been playing quite well. Dupont, and then you have Antimac, and then out wider you have Vakatawa, isn't it? Vakatawa, 12 or 13. But if you look at the Welsh team, I think particularly, I know they played very good rugby in the Six Nations just gone. And they have been playing well. They played extremely well against Australia, and been able to put a lot of pressure on teams. So
it took them a good while to get into that Fiji game, was my only reservation.
Yeah, and it was a drop ball. Fiji had a chance to score a try down their end. Drop ball.
Yeah,
Fiji's game, like, they just took it too far, and it was the detriment of them. They dropped the ball, and then Wales went up and scored a try, which was a bit disappointing, because I think Fiji were going to push them very close there. Yeah.
One thing I'd say about France is that they're 6 out of 8 in quarterfinals, so they've won 6 out of the 8 quarterfinals.
Yeah, they love the World Cup.
Yeah, they love it.
And then in comparison, Wales have only won just the once, I think, against Ireland, actually, to get them into the semi-final in 2011. And that's off the 4 quarterfinals they've been in. So history doesn't probably stand for much in this World Cup, because
seems like it's a bit all over the show.
Yeah, but
still,
it's in their favour, I suppose. Yeah.
So your decision is going to be the plus, the minus?
I would go Wales -8.
Wales -8. Okay, I think the line they have is 6 is a minute, but 8, okay.
Okay, Jenna making up his own bet.
I'll take it 6-4.
No, I went France +6.
We'll go minus six.
Okay, you're going to minus. Okay, we've got opposite bets this weekend. All right, so okay, just before we go to the Irish game,
you're going on the plus, are you?
He's going on the plus. Yeah. So then, okay, next we're going to look at the England Australia game.
One of us is going to be desperately wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it'll work. Yeah. I know that's just after knocking off in the background, but we'll sort that in a sec. Okay, then England and Australia. What do you think?
England and Australia, I think England will have too much power.
Firepower, yeah.
I think they're able to spread the ball really well. I fancied them a bit for this World Cup. I think I said it last time I was on, that they were the team, one of the teams I thought.
Yeah, from the start you had been saying that you thought England were up to a bit, like.
Yeah, I can't see Australia getting up to the level that England get up to if they perform. But England can be hit and miss, I think, sometimes. And well, they have been the last World Cup, certainly. But again, I know England have been 2-for-2 in quarterfinals against Australia, so history's on their side. I think England will be much stronger in the halfbacks area than Australia. With whether it's Ford, Farrell, Youngs, whoever is in at the halfbacks, there will be stronger, I think, than Nick White and whether it's Liliafano or Bernard Foley or whoever it is playing in the 10. Yeah. I think just across the board, England would be too powerful for Australia.
Yeah.
But it'll definitely be an interesting game. As I said, I think England are able to spread the ball a lot with a lot of ease across the pitch, over and back, and I think they'll tie them down after 60th minute.
Yeah, I think England have they lost to them in the 2015 World Cup 33-13, so I think they're trying to avenge that. And also, it was the final in 2003, the famous one where Johnny Wilkinson got that famous drop goal. But I think this is going to be very close. Australia, I just love the way they play rugby, like their backs. Like, hopefully Curly Bill will play. I think he was concussed there and went off injured. Mm. But hopefully he does play, because he adds so much energy to the game.
Yeah, he does.
The one thing I would say about Australia is that they have a very strong back row, like Hooper, Pocock, and your man Nazarani, is it? Nazarani? The three of them will be able to slow down. Between the three of them, should be able to slow down England's ball a good bit.
And if Pocock gets sniffed, he's going to turn over all
exactly,
day long.
Which will impact England's game plan. And
who would probably be Sam Underhill and Tom Curry,
yeah.
6 and 7.
Vinopola.
That's a big.
Such a battle. Though.
It's a big battle at the breakdown.
If you had to choose, like, who would get onto the English team there, you'd have to say, I'd say Hooper and Pocock would be in.
Yeah. 100%. Like, the two lads are very young anyway.
Yeah, they are quite young.
That's the only thing. And Pocock was arguably one of the best. It's already the best.
Yeah.
Back row in the world.
But that being said, you know, like, all it takes is one of the English back rows to have a big game, and it can change that whole dynamic.
Yeah,
of,
that's it.
And I think as young lads, I think the English back row, I think, is probably one of the most underrated in the World Cup. Now, I know that they do have big names attached to them, and I know they are young, but I think when you have big Billy at the back as well, you know, and he doesn't, you know, he gets a steal every now and again. But the other two, I think, are just ferocious work ethic.
Yeah.
And like the amount of work that they get through. I remember seeing Tom Curry play for Sale. Is it Sale? I think it's Sale.
Yeah, the two brothers play for Sale.
Yeah, and it was about last year or the year before. And man, he's just got it. And his work ethic is just silly.
Yeah.
Also, is Sam Underhill the fella who could have played for Wales? Is he that fella?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
I can't remember. I heard
his
name.
A grandparent or something from Wales.
Yeah, I feel like that there could have been this big, you know, question whether he was going to, you know.
I think it was.
I think he could be. I was just thinking, like, wouldn't Wales love to have him now? Like,
and also Tuilagi versus Kerevi is going to be fucking class.
It's going to be a lot of collisions in that midfield. Who's the 12 for Australia?
That's Kerevi, yeah.
Then who's the 13? Beale. Where's Beale playing for?
James O'Connor's 13.
Sorry, and then. Sorry, so then who will our centres for England realistically be?
Tuilagi and
Farrell.
Yeah.
I'd say Ford will be playing.
Do you think it'll be?
Yeah. Well, I doubt they change it now. Like, that's what they've
worked for them, you know.
Yeah. Like, Slade had an injury, so he probably had a knee injury, didn't he? And he hasn't been.
If I was picking, like, James O'Connor has been playing class. Obviously, the Tuilagi Ford combinations, or Tuilagi Farrell combination, is absolutely ridiculous, and has worked so well for England so far. But if Kerevi and O'Connor can get the upper hand on that, I think Farrell still hasn't played that too good though at the World Cup, and like
he still maintained for having not had, you know, any big games, he still had it.
Yeah, no,
you know,
that's an extraordinary player,
which I think probably makes him one of the best players in the world. You know, So sorry. So our call on this down. I think the line is 8. Which side are you going to balance on?
Yeah, I'm going -8 for
Ingles. Yeah, I'm going -8.
Okay, we have one that you agree on. Okay, so now our last game then, just coming into the Ireland and All Blacks game. Now, the first thing is Herring was called into the squad as Crone withdraws.
Yeah, Crone got injured.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Same time though, he hasn't really played much rugby.
No,
he
hasn't. Sure, he's played in two of the games.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. He probably wouldn't have been involved this weekend.
So it probably means that Niall Scanlon. Well,
Niall
Scanlon is on the bench essentially. Then, like realistically, we probably won't even see Rob Herring play.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you have to be hopeful.
Well, unless there's an injury, touch wood, but I don't think that they'll, like, they probably if they win this match, they'll probably stick with the. With the Scanlon best Crone or combo Crone and God, okay. So then the other, so and then we lose Bundiaki.
Yeah.
Three match ban.
Henshaw walks in that. I think I would have picked Henshaw anyway.
Yeah.
I think Joe Schmidt is probably thinking that as well.
Yeah.
Keeping him in the squad, like.
So his decision was kind of taken away from. Oh yeah. As we said the last issue, he was, if he was still there and injured, he was obviously being kept for a reason. Yeah. You know.
I think the first choice would have been Aki and Henshaw playing in the centres.
Yeah.
Had everyone been fit. And even though Ringrose has been playing well, I think Aki, I remember him playing against the All Blacks the last time we played them, and he had a cracking game. And he offers like that physicality right up the centre. Ringrose, does he as much in attack? I'm not so sure. Defensively, he's obviously incredible, and he offers that creativity. But I would have fancied probably Aki and Henshaw to start in the centre.
Yeah, I
have to disagree with there. I think Gary Ringrose, just for his defence and overall, like he can make something happen. And he's also been playing very good, so I think it'd be very unfair to drop him.
Yeah,
I can see your point though. Like two big lads in the centre.
Yeah,
but no, I think it's going to be Henshaw, Ringrose.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah, well, it's going to be now.
It
anyway,
will be now. Anyway,
whether if you had your full choice, what way would you have gone?
Yeah.
So then, outside of that, I assume, you know, what do we think our back three is going to look like? I assume it's like we all agree that it'll be Murray Stockdale. And Sexton.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry, but for the 9 and 10, and then for the back three, what way do you think we'll?
Earl Stockdale, Kearney. I think he will stay. Look,
I can't see them deviating from that. Yeah, that being said,
maybe
that being said,
Larmour,
I think Larmour did have a great game. It is, you know,
I think Larmour's been playing incredible, so I think it would be quite harsh to drop him, but I think based on past decisions that Schmidt has made,
I think he'll probably stick to his banker and Kearney at fullback. I just feel like anytime that he has had the opportunity, he's always, you know, and he has been blood and Geordie for the last, you know, he did it in the Six Nations to kind of have that option for now. Yeah. But I do think that when it does come to neck and neck, is he going to put his neck out and make that decision again for the All Blacks quarter final? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But who then comes onto your bench? Who comes onto your bench then? Like I assume, you know,
number 23, I assume, would be Larmour then.
Or Farrell?
No, I think Larmour.
No show for
think Larmour or Conway. I don't think Farrell's going in there.
Yeah.
I suppose if you have Earls on the field, if there is an injury in that midfield, you can bring Earls into.
I think in the small game, Larmour finished at 13.
I think he did finish at 13. Yeah. He actually stood off a scrum at 12 at one stage, I remember.
Yeah. How do we think the game itself is actually going to go? Or do you think it's going to be won or lost?
I think it's going to be very similar to last year. Ireland are going to try and keep it tight as possible. Like, I was looking at it though, like Ireland have faced New Zealand 4 times in Joe Schmidt's reign. And it's currently 2-2. And Ireland in aggregate score 87-83. Like the games have been so close.
I think the only way we can win is if we can like just hold on to ball as long as possible and keep the ball, like starve New Zealand off possession essentially. I think I said earlier on to someone that I think our tight five are going to have to have a massive game. And I think that's actually where it might be won or lost. If our tight five are able to ball carry, get over the game line, generate pace onto the ball when we're in attack, then we're in with a shot if Murray and Sexton are firing. And in defence, if we can slow down their ball when they have it, because as you know, they're so dangerous when they're on attack, that if we can just slow down their ball as much as possible, give us that extra minute couple of seconds to get set into our defensive line be huge. But I read that we haven't ever met New Zealand in a World Cup.
Really?
Bar once 1995.
Yeah, and famously, Ireland scored a try and number three for Ireland stuck the fingers up to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
Do you know who number three was?
I don't have a clue, no. It's worth looking up. 1995, Ireland versus New Zealand.
But like Ireland obviously have never made it past the quarter final before.
I don't think New Zealand have ever lost in the quarter final either.
I think they've lost once to France in 2007.
Was that in the quarter final or the semi final?
It was a quarter final, and then France went on to lose to England in the semi.
Oh yeah. And then
England they beat or they lost England's to South Africa. But as I said, as Evan said, like it took us 111 years to fucking break down the All Blacks, and we've done it now twice under Joe Schmidt's reign.
Here we go.
I think the players will take massive confidence.
I think the players definitely think they're going
to
win.
They have to, I suppose, don't they? But I think they'll take massive confidence from the fact that they've played this New Zealand side not only 12 months ago, they've beaten them. They've played them in Chicago in 2016, beaten them. And like, it's rare that an Irish team would have that mindset in the back that they say, like, the expectation now is that they beat teams of this caliber. They don't. It's not like, oh, if we get close, it's good enough. They expect wins against these teams. And that's been the mindset. Like, you go back 4 or 5 years, think of how many players have come in. Henshaw, Ringrose. These lads, they expect that level of performance from James Ryan when you come in against these teams. And so that there'll be an expectation in camp. Despite all the performances they've had so far, none of that will matter to them because they've been doing their own thing within the four walls of the changing room. They've been happy enough in some games, disappointed in others. But the media will always overreact and underreact to wins and losses. They'll stay at a happy medium and then they'll know exactly what they're doing. Coming into this game, I'd say there's an absolute massive excitement around it, and they'll be looking forward to having a shot at the All Blacks again in a quarter final. And the reality is, if you're hoping to win a World Cup, which I definitely think this team should, and that is definitely is their aim, you're gonna have to beat the All Blacks more than likely at some point.
And you'd rather beat them in a quarter final than a final.
You'd rather meet them in a quarter final or a semi final than having to meet them in a final,
because then it's like the be all and end all.
Well, like then. The All Blacks in a final, I imagine it's different gravy than even playing them in a quarter final, which is still massive, but this is their final as it stands, I know, for them. Same with Ireland. This is the biggest game for all the Irish fellas' careers. It's the biggest game they're going to be playing in, because, as I said, none of them have made it to a semi-final before. Murray and Sexton, lads on that team, they've done it all. They've won Grand Slams, Heineken Cups, but they've never even gotten by a quarter final for World Cup, which will be a massive stain on their
and Josh Smith as well. I was looking at the teams from 2018, and arguably you could say that the Irish team that will play on Saturday will be even better than last year. Like Aki was starting at 12, Marmion was at 9, and Toner was at 5. And now we have Henshaw, Murray and Henderson, which I think are three better players than those ones. And just the Murray Sexton, like if you get those two going, you just like all bets are off. Like you just can't. You don't really know.
The thing.
Like,
it's just a matter of them performing. Because
the axis is just so important.
Up until now, there's been a lot of people and anyone I've talked to have been unhappy with how they've been playing, and they haven't been hitting their peak level of performance, I suppose. But it just takes them to show up on the day, perform to their best. And anything can happen. There's a lot of people saying that we're going to get spanked by the All Blacks. I
can't see that.
Connor says no.
I'm reluctant to bet against Ireland.
Find it very hard to ever bet against Ireland. Even if I do feel like it's, I'll just like not leave it.
I think as well with Nigel Owens ref in the game, I think that's going to be quite important. I think he's probably
penalties so far in the World Cup.
I think Nigel Owens. I think he's probably the best ref we have at the World Cup.
I was really happy with what's his name? The guy who was Nick Berry. He was class. His communication. He was very fair. I just thought he was really unsurprised. He's only a Lions man or what you call it, touch judge, for the quarterfinals, which is a bit disappointing because I thought he was like the best ref I've seen.
Yeah,
Wayne Barnes I thought was very good as well.
The four refs for
Jerome Garces, Nigel Owens, Wayne Barnes,
and Poit, is it?
Yeah.
Poit.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's not Poit.
It's Romain Poit.
The South African. Which one of those? There's a South African ref.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Does it say who's refereeing?
No, well, it's definitely Nigel Owens.
Yeah, it's Garces.
Garces.
But Poit, I don't think it's Poit. It's
the Wales France game is
Jakob Piper.
Jakob Piper. The Japan South Africa game is Poit. Wayne Barnes.
Yeah, he's a bit of a Poit.
The our game is Nigel Owens.
And
then.
Is the touch,
no, and then Garces. Yeah. I can't see who the touch judges are here, but then Jerome Garces is doing
the
England.
I think Poit might be the touch judge for for our game then.
I don't know how I see this. Does this just tells me who the ref is?
But I think the referee will be like, I think Nigel Owens will come into play.
Depends how he referees it offside line as well.
That's it. Like I think New Zealand are one of the best teams at getting away with murder.
Yeah. Used to always
they're cheaters.
Richie McCall just getting away with murder.
Yeah,
so
they're cheaters.
They are cheaters, but they're smart cheaters.
Yeah, but like they somehow don't get caught, and it's actually mesmerizing sometimes that you see some of the things that they do on the pitch and you're like, how is it?
And the referees know that they're doing that.
Yeah,
that's what I don't get. Like, fair enough, they do it once.
It's well advertised at this stage. Yeah. So I think that's going to be because Ireland pride themselves on their discipline. And against Japan, there was a number of penalties given away. Who was reffing that game again? The Japanese
Angus Gardner.
Yes, and there was a number of penalties, and they came out and said afterwards that there was a lot of those penalties weren't penalties.
Before me,
because I remember thinking at the time, I was like, "Geez, we've given away a lot of penalties here for Ireland." So I read somewhere that the last time we played them, played New Zealand, Ireland gave away 5 penalties, New Zealand gave away 11. Like that was something as small as the penalty count would be the.
Yeah, I think we've averaged less than 8 in like Joe Schmidt's tenure.
Yeah.
And we had 16, I think, against Japan,
which
shocking.
Is huge.
I suppose if you take away the 3, it's still 13.
It's still quite high, like.
Yeah, but it's just like if Ireland win, it's because they keep their penalty count low. You don't give them a sniff.
Yeah, it's just
also,
the way we play as well. Like keeping our penalty count low is huge because we can't afford to give teams away because we don't actually score that many tries. So we need to keep their scoreline as low as possible. Obviously, I know that sounds simple enough, but just based on the way we play, it's low-risk rugby. We kick down the ball and we trust our defensive systems to be able to defend, withstand the pressure, and then hopefully we'll either force an error or we'll get a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going forward into this New Zealand game, that will be massive for us. If we give away too many penalties, there isn't a hope in hell that we're getting anywhere near them.
And then, so, obviously we're going to have our handling and errors and everything kept to a minimum, but I think, as you said, a big thing is going to be our defence as well.
Yeah.
So what would be our key things about our defence? What are we going to have to do, you know?
Like, I suppose bring a lot of line speed and be able to shut them down. I think one of Andy Farrell's defensive systems is that we hammer in from is it out to in, and then there's sometimes space on the outside, and they trust either both our wingers, whether it's Stockdale or whoever it is, to make a read.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that's like that. I think that's so dodgy though. Like, we've been like caught out by that a lot. Like we're just sometimes too narrow, and they get it to the wing.
Because usually the Earls comes up
out of the line and tries to make a big hit.
If we can make or get enough line speed though to force them into throwing those big loopy passes, the ball's in the air for so long,
and
it gives enough time to push out. But as well as that, as I said earlier, being able to dominate the gain line and push New Zealand back will be so important. I think if New Zealand get front football, they're very dangerous. If we stop them on or behind the gain line and we get whoever is in our back row, whether it's Stander, Van der Fleer, over the ball, slow it down, I think we're in with a shot. But I suppose, yeah, we haven't seen maybe that performance yet from Ireland in this World Cup, so hopefully now the fact that they're playing against the All Blacks will really focus their minds and they'll be able to bring their A game, which I'm backing them to.
Yeah, you think?
I was off the ball last night, and Brian O'Driscoll was on the panel and he's fairly confident as well, so
yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
if the Bodmeister is confident,
if Bod says it, it must be true. So okay, there. Well, so am I right in saying you think that England, Ireland, Wales are all coming away with a win this weekend?
England. Sorry, who?
England, Ireland, and Wales.
I'd say England and Wales anyway, and South Africa, and then I'm going out on a limb and saying Ireland.
Well, just if you do fancy a bet, then England, Ireland, Wales, 8-1.
If I was fancying
a price,
I think this is a better bet now. Ireland 7-2, England -8 at evens, France +6 at evens, and Japan +15 at evens. That brings it around to like 25-1, maybe, I think.
Yeah. Oh well, like okay, I'll put that one. I'll put yours up at the end.
Yeah.
Right. So sorry, yours. Okay, I'll be able to listen back to that and get that one. So what do you think?
I'm a terrible.
I'll punt a fiver on each and see which one. Even though it could be a loss of the tenner and just lose both, but I'll see who's.
If I was a betting man.
If you're a betting man.
Which I'm not.
Don't worry, Jenna. Your parents don't watch this.
Just think it's safe with me, man.
I'd go Ireland on the handicap, which is +12.
Yeah.
England on the minus, which is what? Minus. What did you say?
Yeah, I'll do it as we go. So just, I think it's 8.
-8. I have England by 10 here. Then I would say Wales by 8. And I would say South Africa by 15.
Yeah. My bet is 5 returns 180 lots. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, well, we'll stick both of these up the end. So, Jen, sorry, you're Ireland +12, England -8, Japan, or it's South Africa -15, sorry, yeah?
Yeah.
And then, what are we going for the Wales-France game?
I have Wales, it's
-6 here. So
I have the -8. I'd even say -10, maybe.
Okay, well, I can up the handicap in sec.
That's if... I think Davies might be in doubt for that game.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that.
Sorry, you're saying 10 well. Here, Jenna, yeah? So let's say 10 for that. So that brings you to... So we've got Ireland +12, England -8, South Africa -15, and Wales -9.5. Is 5 returns €80.
80 quid.
Yeah.
I think mine's a bit nicer.
Yeah. Well, nice, look, it's both. Like, I think both of them are really nice, but neither of them are great until it wins, and then I'll get some money. Right. So, no, we'll definitely. I'm going to back both of those bets. And we'll see how the weekend goes.
What do we think that the New Zealand team will be?
I think they're definitely worried. So I think that, like,
I think they definitely shouldn't be as confident as they have been in previous World Cups, because they definitely don't have the form.
Like, it's a 17-day turnaround since Richie Monga, Bowden Barrett, Scott Barrett, Kieran Reid all played their last game. Like, 17 days for them.
They could have went on a holiday back to New Zealand, went on the pitch for a week and then came back.
Yeah, they did, though.
I mean, that's a long time for... Well, it's a 17-day layoff.
It's a significant break in the middle of the biggest competition in the world.
They're bound to get bored.
I mean, obviously, they would have had, as I said earlier, the tough training sessions in between the games themselves. But, I mean, did nothing... brings up match sharpness, like actually playing matches.
Yeah, so fair. I agree.
I think that's one area that Ireland, you might see it as an advantage for Ireland, that, like, you know, they're two playmakers, one of their back rowers and one of their tight five haven't. Now, I don't know if Barrow will
Scott start. Barrow might not start. Yeah, he might Ritalik not start. Ritalik is back now.
What, Ritalik and White
Yeah. But I mean, as I said earlier, it's been nearly 4 weeks since they've played South Africa. Ireland had back-to-back games for the first four, and then they had a week off before Samoa, wasn't it? So, like, they'll be match sharp, I think. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be exciting.
What time is kickoff? There's a game on beforehand. The England game.
Yeah, 11:15. I'm going to throw in a little plug here. Mima's on Parnell Street, Arshona, if anyone wants to show up. I think they're doing a nice deal of a pint and a pizza for £12.
Oh,
at 11:15.
11:15 in the morning. I think that's the perfect.
It's an early house, so it's all legal. It's all legal.
Yeah. All legal. Class.
Yeah.
Nice plug.
Yeah, no, fair. Well, definitely, if you are in the town area and looking for somewhere to have a pint, we were actually in there two weekends ago, and it's actually a fucking serious spot. Yeah, so.
Great spot.
Yeah, but other than that, I think that's pretty much everything covered for now, unless there's anything else you think we missed.
No.
No. So then, ideally, you know, we get through this weekend with a win. You know,
play to England and this semi final. What would you rather do? Lose to England in the semi final or lose to New Zealand in the quarter final?
Lose to England in the semi final.
I think we've never. We need to get to the semi final. Yeah. I think that needs to be our goal for the next. You know,
but I think if we play England in the semi final, we'll beat them.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge goal. So hang on. You think that we beat New Zealand, we essentially win the World Cup? Because
no, I said
no. It's rematch Japan in the final then.
Oh, and then we lose. Oh no! Anyway, but no. Hopefully, we will do this again before our semis. I know you threatened that you weren't going to come back, but
I forget what did I threaten about?
You said that if we didn't beat Samoa, you wouldn't come back.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, we beat Samoa.
Yeah. So, but even if we lose to New Zealand, are you willing to commit to a semi-final?
I might go into hibernation to the next 4 years.
Yeah, fair. Well, it might be needed if we do lose again.
If we lose to Ireland or to New Zealand, all credibility's out the window because I've backed them down to the ground.
So yeah, fair.
I won't be here.
Okay, fair. Well, maybe I should pack up shop and just end the podcast completely. Yeah, but other than that, yeah, always a great time to spew, lads. You know, there's another podcast in the books. So until next time. Ba-ba-ba!